It's okay. Okay. Those of you who are reading the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, remember there are 10 parakim, so it's not too late. It's the fourth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, so it's not too late to catch up. And in the first several parakim, he describes the halachas of Tshuva. Thank you. And then the Rambam not digresses, but shifts to Bechira Chavshis. And then Perek Shvi, he returns to Tshuva. And then towards the end, Perek Shmini, Chi, and Asiri, more about general Avodas Hashem. Again, it's so clear in the Rambam that Tshuva is not an isolated moment of penitence and absolution, but it's reflective of a life of Avodas Hashem. In almost every article in Rav Lichtenstein's Sefer, you'll see that pop-out moment where he's discussing Tshuva, and he builds a dichotomy or a duality or an idea, and then he pops out and says, well, this is true about life in general and about Avodas Hashem. That's what makes the articles such heft. It's not just about Tshuva. In Perek Shvi, the Rambam becomes very poetic. After he's already described the Halachas of Tshuva and already described the Bechira Chavshis, the Perek begins, Hol v'rashus kaladam nesunalo, since you have full freedom of choice, you should bear the burden of change and of life, and life is about having shoulders strong enough to bear burdens rather than shirk responsibilities and burdens. I'm not going to read it in order, so I want to read one Halacha today. I like to think about whatever Halacha hits me on the way down to Shir, so this Halacha hit me. Kama me'ula maila sa'tshuva. Right, sounds like the Rambam is writing an elegy, an ode to tshuva. Kama me'ula maila sa'tshuva. He's already described the halacha sa'tshuva. Kama me'ula maila sa'tshuva. Sounds like almost a piyut. What is the magic of tshuva that warrants kama me'ula maila sa'tshuva? So there's what the Rambam says, and then there's how he says it. What the Rambam says is the turnaround, where you could be hated, and you could feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want your mitzvahs and doesn't answer your tefillos. The Rambam writes, Emesh hayezeh muvdal mihashem elokei Yisrael, you are distanced from Hashem. Tzoek ve'en onena, Hashem doesn't answer your tefillos. Osem mitzvos v'tarfonos al v'fanav, Hashem doesn't want your mitzvahs. Right, Hashem, this is not me, guys, this is the Rambam. Hashem rips up your mitzvahs and throws them at you. Tarfen osav b'fana. Dayam hu mudbak b'shechina. The transformation is you return to the Shechina. Tzorek v'nena miyad. Hashem answers your tefillos. Mekab mitzvahs b'nachas b'simcha. And misavin lam. And Hashem actually wants your mitzvahs. So what the Rambam says... is that the tshuva transformation is about, as we've said so often, the relationship, not just the legality, not just the chait, but the relationship. And the emphasis in the Rambam is that the rupture of chait isn't just, oh, you're far from Hashem. Very often we think about tshuva in terms of distance. How close am I to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How far am I from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But Avi, even when I'm far away from you, okay, so I'd like to be closer to you, but it's not the end of the world, we're far away. But the toxicity of chayt doesn't just create distance, it creates malfunction religiously. Hashem doesn't want your mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't want your tefillah. That's just, oh, Hashem's distant from me, I'll just have to negotiate, it'll be a little more difficult. I don't have my friends with me, so. The whole religious system collapses. Chayt scuttles or subverts religious system. Hashem doesn't want your mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't want your tefillah. Because you've reached the state where you're so fill in the blanks, insolent, derelict, disrespectful, egocentric. I'm going to say something really strange, and it's not just to wake you up. I really mean it. And sometimes I say strange things just to wake you up. Sometimes I say strange things because they're really true. This state of affairs, where you feel like Hashem doesn't want you, it's a bracha. Because if you don't reach that stage, you're not really feeling guilt and shame. And if you're not really feeling guilt and shame, then you've basically you're ignoring your conscience. If you commit something, and you all will, I mean, we don't believe in inevitability of chait, but it's pretty common. Right? It's a very thin line. Christianity suggests that human beings are born into sin, original sin. chalila v'chas. Sex isn't sinful. We're not born to sin. We're born perfect and upright. Human beings by nature are good and noble. But on the same token, Adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. The chances you're going to die without a chet, the Gemara says a few people died be'etchel shel nachash because they didn't sin and they just died because of the curse of Adam. Chances are minuscule. Everyone in this room is going to probably, unless, you know, don't take my word for it, but it's pretty likely that every one of us is going to encounter sin if you haven't already. If your conscience is really sensitive, then you feel shame and you feel guilt very deeply. Modern psychology has worked hard to eliminate some of the feelings that it sees as deleterious to human growth. And it's very sad sometimes because these are very, very healthy traits and I wouldn't exchange them for any other of my emotions. You have to calibrate them, you have to balance them. There's a thin line between sadness and despair. And if you cross into that line, you're in a very, very dangerous territory, but it doesn't mean you should never visit sadness. There's a thin line between guilt and self-immolation, self-flagellation. If you never feel guilt, there's a thin line between shame and lack of self-esteem. But if you never feel shame, then essentially modern psychology is doing a good job of severing us from our conscience, as our conscience sends out these warning signals that help us correct whom we are. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided that conscience, a little voice inside of us. That's a little voice that says you could be better and you should be better. And if you're not, you should feel a little embarrassed of yourself. So here's my bracha to you. It's bracha because I felt it. There were times in my life personally that I felt this Rambam very deeply, that I felt so embarrassed at myself. Hashem doesn't want me in the Beis Medrash. Hashem doesn't want my tefillos. I don't want to look at Hashem. Hashem doesn't want to look at me. Now, Baruch Hashem, most of the time, I was able to pull myself together and then walk right back into the Beis Medrash or whatever the Makom HaMitzvah was and say, well, Hashem wants me to return because Hashem wants me with all my sins as long as my heart is intending correctly. But you have to try to reach that stage of guilt and shame and then turn it around. Because if you don't, then it's a very flat and flaccid tshuva. So trying to avoid it. Everyone's going to do tshuva. We're trying to avoid the flat tshuva, the pallid tshuva, the empty tshuva. That you're beyond there. You're beyond just making a checkbox and improving and moving on to the next day. I'll try to help you get there over the next 2-3 days. But to me, what's so promising about this Rambam is because I'm always struggling. I'm not there yet. How do I jumpstart? How do I generate? How do I create more passion, more darkness, more sadness, more frustration, more sincerity? It's like so hard. And this Rambam, when he describes the transformation, he says something very important. Kama me'ula malas hatshuva, emesh hayezeh muvdal, v'hayom hukarov. It doesn't take a long time. It's just, it could be yesterday and today. It's not a long process. Tshuva can happen immediately. Gemara says in Brachos, if you see a tzaddik performing a chayt, you can assume he did tshuva that night. Who says he can assume? He definitely did tshuva that night. It's a second. That's why the Gemara chronicles people who did tshuva literally on their death, and they did it on the ad yom osa techakela. Part of it is you should never give up hope. Part of it, it doesn't take a long process. It's a moment of sincerity. Now, normally, to get to that sincerity, you have to work really, really, really hard. This year, I think it's a little bit easier because I think we're all at a level of sincerity and honesty with ourselves because we've been brought down to size. We've been beaten down a little bit, so it's easier to be really honest when you're beaten down. And arrogance and presumption and self-esteem are suffering on their own. It's hard because the framework it just takes so much energy just to survive. The amount of energy it takes just to keep your day-to-day. Normally, your day-to-day platform runs on its own. Here, it's just you have to wear your mask and you have to show up and the davening is shorter. It's a little bit easier, a little bit harder. But all it is that one moment that flashes into your heart, that one sincere tear, that one cry, that one moment that you look inside yourself and say, well, okay, I'm ready to cross that line. I'm ready, even if it isn't a tear. And that, to me, what I was thinking about this Rambam is, it's not too late. It's the fourth day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. All I need is that one moment during the Ilah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept my Tshuva. So remember the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, Emesh Hayezeh Muvdal, V'Hayom Hu Ahuv. Today, all it takes is that one turnaround. Okay. Let us take a moment.